Nothing's convinced me more. Over these last weeks, how much we need you. And I thank you, Lord, that you have selected us and called us out from before the foundations of the world to be yours. Come, Lord, now. And be with your selected. Open our ears that we might hear what you're saying to the church. And give us the faith to walk in it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. It could be said that life is testing. And on that, I thought I would have heard an amen. Amen. And in testing, it's because of trials. And one could say today is a new beginning. But like in every beginning, it's only a beginning if we choose to pick up and walk in it. So we're going to say today is a new beginning. But as such, we're going to leave that statement alone, like a dangling participle for a while. But I want to say that, you know, have you ever been really, really, really sick? You know, to that point of sick, and now I'm going to talk to the guys, because women somehow, when they get sick, they do something about it. But us men, other than whine and pout and treat our spouses ugly, we don't tend to do a lot about it, so I'm told. But sometimes we get really, really sick to the point we allow someone to take us to the doctor. And that's when I'm told that our wives know that we must really be sick. But it doesn't make much sense when we go to the doctor is if all we do is to tell the doctor about someone else's disease. Honestly, it wastes both our time and our money. I mean, for real, the doctor would not be able to effectively treat us if all we did was complain about somebody else's illness, if we didn't take the time to tell him or her. I mean, we can't be chauvinist, assuming all doctors are male, if we didn't tell them of our own symptoms. Is that true? I mean, somehow we would go home just as sick as when we got there. Now, there's been times I've gone to the doctor and I've told him of my own symptoms and I went home feeling as sick as when I went, because something about medicine takes time. And when I'm sick, I don't want to give time. I want, well, God, why didn't you do something while I was there? I'm sure none of y'all are that way. Well, strange as it seems, that's kind of precisely the parable that Jesus was talking about in the gospel this morning. Two men went to the temple. And there, the parable is found in Luke's gospel, and it's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Picture this, the Pharisee, instead of presenting himself humbly before God and asking for God's help and grace, comes and lists all the faults of everyone else. Specifically, he complains about the tax collector. Oh God, I thank you I'm not like everyone else. All those extortioners, those unjust adulterers, and even like that tax collector sitting over there on the second row, except in temples they didn't sit. Now I got to warn y'all about something. We're coming up in 2 weeks on open house, and we're sending out a lot of invitations. And one of our priests, and I'm not going to mention Father Looker's name, no, I'm sorry, Father Melanson, let me get my story straight. But he has determined that when everybody comes, we don't add seats, we take seats away. So we go standing room only. That's okay, y'all begin to pray. Because in the temple you stood, you see. Is that him coming in? Good, I told the story about him before he got back. Okay. I was just telling about taking seats away on opening day so we can all stand. Anyway, he's saying all those people like that tax collector. Therefore, it's no surprise that the Pharisee went home that day unjustified before God, because all he did was come to the temple to be seen and to complain about how everybody else. Now, you might think that the Pharisee came to God with the right attitude. I mean, let's face it, this guy fasted twice a week. I mean, under Jewish law, under the Torah of the day, it was only decreed that you fast once a year on the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Just be a holy man. Under Jewish piety, it had been written for additional fast. But those weren't for forgiveness of sins. You fasted additionally to give God, to ask God for favor and for protection. So this man in the people's eyes was a very religious man. This is one of the important people of the temple. So for him to go to temple, he was going in favor and he was being seen by the people. On the other hand, there was the tax collector. In the people's eyes, not so holy. In fact, not so favored at all. In truth, he was like just a little more than the swine herders. If they were found out in the country, if they were in the city, they weren't liked at all. But he goes to the temple for repentance. It says that his language, his body language, reflected that he was there seeking God's forgiveness, seeking to find God. And he says, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He was seeking God for his life. He wasn't seeking God to be seen. Unlike the Pharisee, he didn't try to conceal who he really was. But he put on a mask. He didn't put on a mask to hide his real self from God. But he came to God as he was. Therefore, God met him where he was and he lifted him up. And the tax collector went home justified. According to verse 18:14, the tax collector was living out the first beatitude: blessed are the poor in spirit, for he was truly poor in spirit. Saints of God, that's how we're to come to church: broken, poor in spirit, seeking God. Just like another tax collector whom we're going to meet next week, Zacharias, who humbly meets Jesus in a spirit of repentance. Today's takeaway message, by the way, throughout all of Scripture, we see God is coming to those who know they have a need of God. God knows the voice of repentance, like a mother knows the voice of her child. I remember the story, I think I told you a long time ago, but I heard the story of a pastor and his wife. And the pastor's wife was saying that a mother knows the three cries of her children. And there's this child, the cry of a child. Well, the child's mad because he's not getting his way. And the mother doesn't pay any attention to it. And then there's the child of the cry of a child, because the child is hungry. Well, dinner's not quite ready, and so you're not going to ruin the child's appetite by giving it a snack. And the mother's not going to pay a lot of attention to it. But then there's a child cry of a pain. And the husband says, yeah, I know that cry. And so the guy said, well, how do you know that cry? And he said, well, my wife was on the other side of the house putting laundry in the washer, and I was working on a door down the hallway, and I'd taken the doorknob off, but you know, you can take the doorknob off and the little lock thing is in. And my 18-month hole was on the other side of the bedroom and got her little finger caught in the door and closed the door. And let out a blood-curdling scream, and I was trying to figure out how to get the door off without hurting my child's finger. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and there was this buffalo coming down the hallway, and it was my wife, and she shoved me out of the way, and with one full swift, hit the door, splintering it in half to rescue the child. And the mother said, I knew the cry of a child in desperation. See, God knows a child, the cry of his children in desperation. This week, I had the privilege of hearing God, hearing the cry of one of his children in desperation and reaching out from the unseen and providing a need where no one saw it, and a job where there was no way to have a job, making a pay where there was no way to have a pay. Because God provides us. God provides our needs in a cry of desperation. Like with the tax collector, he met him at the point of humility. That's what our God does. He meets us at the point of desperation when we're real with him. And so I ask you this morning, like the tax collector, what about us? Surely the Lord is saying to us in this parable that we have nothing to fear in approaching him if we come as we are without pretense. Without trying to negotiate. I've got to tell you, saints of God, some of us try to manipulate our God. We try to come to him with pretense. I certainly have in my past. I have said, God, if you'll do this, then I'll do that. In points of desperation, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. I want you to do this, this, and this, and then I'll know you're real. And if you'll do that, then I'll do this. No, we need to come and fall on our knees today at the communion. And we say, God, whatever it takes, here I am, such as I am. Whatever's left of me, I pour myself out to you. Just tell me what to do. Because whatever you have for me is better than anything I can imagine. In fact, it is the correct way to approach God, because otherwise we block out our life from God's best. Let us humbly admit today and for the rest of our life our nothingness before God and our total, complete, absolute dependence on God, like St. Paul did. And when we realize that we have nothing and that we are ready to receive God's grace and its fulfillment, I promise you, it's better than anything we could imagine. Humble repentance before God opens us up to his infinite grace. It is such humble repentance that God also gives us the grace to receive his forgiveness and the sacrament of reconciliation. Today is the day of fulfillment of God's promise to us in half measure. Today is the day of the beginning of our move towards our permanent home. This isn't our home. We know that, but it's a promise that we can look forward to where we're going. Today's the promise of something else that God promised to us a couple of years ago. I remind you, lest you forgot. But first, I open this sermon with a dangling participle. It's a new beginning. So now I say, it's a new beginning. But I ask, is it? That's up to each one of us. A number of years ago, at a woman's retreat, some of you ladies were challenged by the speaker to avail yourself to the sacrament of reconciliation and confession. With this present location, and it's something the Rector's Council talked about at that time, with this present location, we can now offer this, not annually at the women's retreat, but on Sunday mornings before service and on Wednesday nights before Wednesday night services. That sacrament is a beautiful way to meet the Lord and to go home peacefully again like the tax collector. Let us not be too proud like the Pharisees, but humbly like the tax collector. See, saints of God, men and women, sin is glamorized on TV, but sin is sin and needs to be repented of. Glamorizing of sin on TV and other media is closing the door to God. Instead, the Lord is waiting to fill us with His grace and forgiveness of love. If only we come before Him, humbly repentant, saying like the tax collector, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For the same reason, we begin every Mass asking God to forgive us again before receiving Holy Communion. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. The Lord is waiting for us with His grace, forgiveness, and love. Only if only we come before Him in humble repentance, saying like the tax collector, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In closing, let me read from Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing praises, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And continuing in chapter 4. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And at the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us the door for the word to declare the mysteries of Christ, on which account I am a prisoner, that I may make it clear, which is how we ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Saints of God, may together from this place we work for God, devote ourselves to prayer, seize every opportunity to share Jesus by word, deed, and action, and be dedicated to the faith. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.